Now Exodus. Exodus chapter 18. Good job, guys. Good job. You can remain seated. All right, let's look at verse 13. And our text goes from 13 all the way to the end. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them to know, or rather, I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people and to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them, to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every matter, every great matter, they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself. And they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all the people shall also go to their place in peace." And then, of course, verse number 24. "So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said." You know why it worked for Moses? Because he humbled himself and obeyed. And, you know, Moses is burdened down with a heavy workload here. He's overloaded. And so God gives him guidance through Jethro. And the guidance, the counsel is designed to give him relief. And it works because he was humble to receive this guidance. So tonight this afternoon, we're going to be doing a message, Two Disciplines to Bring Relief from a Heavy Workload. And I think this will be a blessing to us as we all often, I think, at times, take on more than we really can handle. You know, so we get there. So let's see if we can take on, or rather learn from this great truth this afternoon. Father, we pray your blessings. I pray you'll help us to, Lord, be filled up with you, emptied of self. I pray you'll work in your church tonight and this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Whenever I was in Bible college, my first ministry was with children. And I don't know, I think maybe coming out of Bible college, it's good to work with kids for a little while. You know, you learn all that theological stuff, and you know all those, you know a lot because you're in college, you know, and so you know all the stuff, and then you work with kids, and you realize they don't understand anything. And so you have to, you know, really bring things down to a place where it's so simple that they get it, but yet there's substance there at the same time. So it was good for me, you know, and I worked with kids. I loved it. I mean, we'd do illustrations. We'd do games. We would clown. We would do goofy stuff, but I mean, there would be a good point to it, you know. But we just, matter of fact, there's a girl at Heartland even now. She was in one of my junior classes back whenever I was in college, I was at Heartland. She tracked me down. She said, "Hi, Brother Ben." You know, we were chatting for a minute, and she said, "Remember back whenever you were my junior church teacher, and you dressed up like that, you know, like that really elderly man, and I had a walker, and I went to the thrift store, and I had this flashback to 1965 suit, and it smelled, It had like mothball smell. It was great. So I had that. I had a wig, you know, and I had big glasses on. And I had this walker, and I don't even remember what my illustration was with that. But she remembers that. And so, I mean, we had a good time in there. One of the challenges we had was, I also ran the bus route. And so we had a challenge. We had two buses. And so another man and I, myself, we would do competitions, who has the most kids. One of the competitions was whoever loses has to swallow a live goldfish. And so I'm like, well, we're not going to lose. So I took that one on. Me who opens up my big mouth, we're not going to lose. We lost. So we're standing in the backyard, and the whole church is watching this. All the kids, we had a big bunch of kids, you know, because we were trying not to make me have to eat this fish, you know. And so we had all these kids, we had all these adults out there, and they got their cameras. And I got this goldfish, and it wasn't big, praise God. But, you know, it was this little goldfish, and I pick it up out of the water, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. And, you know, I stuck that thing in my mouth, and I've known guys who chew them up, no way. I'm just getting this thing down, you know what I mean? So I stuck this live goldfish in my mouth, and I went to swallow it, and it got stuck right there. I could not get it to go down. Everybody's like, yeah, and they're cheering. I'm like, you know, I need some water, but I can't talk either. I'm like, I need some water. I just want, and somebody's like, oh, he needs some water. And somebody brings me some orange juice. Like, so I'm drinking orange juice, and I can feel it, the acid melting it in my throat, that fish. Oh, like, can it be worse than don't bring orange juice if a guy's choking on fish, okay? So that was what happened, you know, whenever this, when we did this goldfish challenge. But Chad, you should do it, you know? Get somebody else in here to do it, and just challenge yourself. Like, if we have so many kids, we'll eat a goldfish, and I'll pick the fish, right? No. Why did I do that? Why do people do that? Why did Brother Chad do what he does? Why do we do these things? It's just so we can reach more people, right? It's just so maybe we'll get somebody else there. Maybe we'll be able to get the gospel to them. Maybe we'll be able to, you know, reach more people for the sake of the gospel. And we had extra kids, and we have extra people there. And my desire to do that was to reach more people. And I was willing to jump in and do things to be involved. I was willing to jump in. And, you know, at times, whenever we, you know, jumped in and we would do things, at times it's like, man, I think maybe I got too much going on. And we get there, don't we? I think maybe I have too many things, too many irons in the fire. And it's created some stress. And that's where Moses was. He had a lot of irons in the fire. He was trying to lead a nation and judge all of the problems that needed legal, you know, justification done to them. And he was like the judge and the jury. He's the one that brought the word of God. And so he was the one that was dealing all of this. And Jethro, not being saved for very long, was used by God to help the man of God. Because of, you know, his knowledge, because of his, you know, his understanding, he observed that Moses' workload was too much. It was creating a lot of pressure, and he wasn't capable to, you know, complete all that was being done. He was limited in his capacity, in his abilities. The children of Israel had problems that needed to be resolved, and Moses was trying to do too much. And so it created stress in Moses' life, and it created stress in the children of Israel's life. It wasn't just isolated to Moses. It was all of the children of Israel and Moses. This heavy workload was frustrating him, but they were also frustrated because their problems were not getting resolved in a timely manner. I mean, these are important things, and they were going all day long, and the day would finish, and the line would still be long, meaning there would have been people who would have been waiting in line all day to get a matter resolved, and it was unresolved, and they'd have to go home. And hopefully tomorrow we'll get in and get it repaired or fixed. Maybe some of them just gave up on the whole process and they didn't get the problem resolved. They just went home and just decided we're just going to deal with it. And so now there's frustration in the land of Israel. And sometimes that's what happens to us. Because we have a heavy workload sometimes. We take more on than what we can handle. I'm just saying generally speaking. And it creates problems. It creates stress in our life. And then it overflows outside of our life and affects those that are closest to us, doesn't it? And we want to think that our stress doesn't, but it does. It doesn't just affect us, it affects those around us. Like as the pastor, you know, I make my own schedule, but listen, that could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing if you're not disciplined in two ways. One, there's a lot of lazy pastors out there. Let's just face the reality. There's guys who aren't getting the job done, you know? And so sometimes, I know this is my, you know, if I can just tell myself here a little bit, in an effort at times to not be the lazy pastor, I try to do more than I really can in the amount of time that I have. And I block schedule my whole week so that I can make sure that everything I need to get done is receiving the right priority. And I put it in there, but here's what happens. Sometimes I'm putting blocks in there and I'm running out of space. And then the whole week is like crammed full and there's no day off and there's no time for the family and there's all this ministry. And then I'm like, okay, oh, you can only do that for so long. And you suffer because of the workload. It's heavy. But you're not the only one who suffers. Your family suffers, don't they? But not just the family. The church suffers. You see how it kind of trickles down. It's not just you. It's those that are around you. It's those that we have influence on. And that's just from my perspective, but we all have a perspective. And we have jobs that we work. We have families that we love. We have, you know, those that are closest to us that need a certain level of our attention, but yet there are other things that are in our life that also are demanding and require certain levels of attention. And what we find is that at times our workload just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and the workload is so big, it's like, oh no, I can't do all of this. And that was Moses. He was like, I can't do all of this, but he was trying, and he was trying, and he was trying, but he couldn't handle it, and it was overloaded. He was just totally overloaded. He was stressed, and Jethro's on the outside watching this whole thing unfold, and he's thinking to himself, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? This is unnecessary. It doesn't need to be this way. The stress that was in Moses' life trickled down in the children of Israel because they weren't receiving the care they needed, the attention that they needed. And the whole thing that Moses was supposed to be doing was falling apart, crumbling out from underneath him because he couldn't handle it himself. And Jethro was watching this. And he was the man with the wise counsel. Moses was the one with the too heavy workload. The children of Israel were suffering because of Moses' workload. And Jethro's the one who's on the outside looking in saying, I have some wise counsel for you, if you'll just listen. He's the man that helped the man. Is that amazing? The man that helped the man of God. And they're out there. And I think maybe Jethro might help us tonight, some of us, possibly. We do at times in our life overload ourselves, don't we? Is there anybody exempt from this? We do at times overload ourselves, don't we? Some of you, is it hard to say no? Some of us, we don't have any trouble saying no. Some of us, we have a hard time saying no. Like, oh, that's a good idea. Okay, let's do it. But really, we don't have time for it, or we don't have the ability or something, you know. And saying no is difficult. And so we find ourselves having too much on the plate. And the plate's getting full, and we can't eat it all, you know. Jethro helped Moses, but first of all, he had to identify that he had too much on himself. Moses was in the middle of it, and he didn't even see it. You know, I think this is wise counsel that Jethro has for him, obviously, but, you know, Moses being on the inside of it didn't realize what it was that he was doing. He didn't even see it because he was so wrapped up in it. He didn't see how it was affecting him and the nation of Israel. So Jethro, on the outside, needed to confront him and see, and help him to see just what was happening, because Moses wasn't seeing it. He wasn't seeing the big picture, you know? He's saying, oh yeah, I can handle this. And Jethro was thinking, you can't handle this, son. You cannot handle this. You think you can, but you cannot. It will destroy you and the nation. Look at verse 13. He said, it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning to evening. What does that mean? It means that it took all day, and it still wasn't getting done. Verse 14, then Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people and said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself, see it, alone. And all the people stand by thee from the morning to even. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come to me and to inquire of God. Now, this is a legitimate answer. Moses says they come to me to inquire of God. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, I'm the man of God. Who else is going to give them the answers they need? I'm the authority. He's right. But he's not seeing the big picture, and Jethro is going to help him to see. But I want you to see that Moses' heart here is, I don't think his heart is wrong. I think he sees himself as the authority and the one who's really going to help the nation of Israel. And so if he doesn't do it, who will? Right? Let's read on that. They have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and the other, and do make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. Verse 17, Moses' father-in-law said unto him, and this is where we need to take note, the thing that thou doest is not good. What thou here this is telling, thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. See, that was the part that Moses wasn't seeing. Maybe he felt the stress. Maybe he saw himself or felt himself withering away, but he didn't see how it affected the nation. Certainly, he didn't see that. He's like, okay, this is affecting you. It's affecting the nation around you. Verse 18, thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that are with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. And so two times he said he's doing this alone. He's overcommitted himself. He's taken on too much. He's unavailable. Watch this. Because he's doing so much in one particular area, trying to provide service in one particular area that he's overloaded in. He's trying to fill a task that's too much for him. What is the natural thing that happens on the other side? There are important things that are not getting done because there's no time for them. Because so much energy is being expended over here on a workload that's too much, he's not able to accomplish the things that need to be done over here. I mean, this is the implication of this text. I mean, if you're working from morning to even, then he's not able to focus his attention on the growth and the leadership of the nation like he should. Like, where are we going as a nation? We're so focused on these tasks from day to day that we can't even complete them. Then there's no time for him. Let's say that these are the day-to-day tasks over here. And listen, this is part of it, okay? This is part of it. But this isn't all of it. This is part of it. And then over here you have other, you know, routine things that need to be a part of your life. Not just this, but this too. And then we have over here, we have the future vision. And as a leader, you have to be able to see the future and not just the day-to-day tasks and the other tasks that are a part of our routines. But where are we going in the future? We have to have vision time. We have to have time where we're apart and we're able to see the future and make plans and have vision. Moses had no time for these things. All of his attention from morning until night is over here. And there's no time for vision. And there's certainly no time to see the nation crumbling around him. And so this is the matter this is the state that Moses and the nation of Israel are in. But I feel that maybe we should identify that this is our tendency as well. Whenever we take on more than we can really handle, and sometimes we receive, you know, opportunities and we take them on and we probably shouldn't. And then other times we get things delegated to us. And sometimes we didn't really have much choice about it, did we? We got something delegated to us. You got to do what you're told, right? Whether you think you have enough time for it or not. And sometimes that's the case. Moses here, he was overloaded with a heavy workload. He was warned that he would wither away and the nation around him. And just as the children of Israel are, you know, going to wither and they're going to suffer because of this, I want us to see ourselves categorized in this way, that whenever we are overloaded and we're taking on too many things and the stress is mounting and building in our life, then we, like the children of Israel, will also wear away and wither away in the family around us, in the ministries around us, and our whole life around us, so that we'll wake up and we'll think, oh no, another day. And we'll wake up, oh no, another day. It's like Brother Marshall used to say to me, because this is how I was in St. Joe. He's like, listen, you're not the pastor. He wasn't getting on to me because I was acting like the pastor. But he's like, listen, you're not the pastor of this church. You have little kids. Go home. He said that to me, I can't even tell you how many times. And so I'm sitting in the office, and he's like, listen, you need to go home. Like, all right, here we go, we're going home. And he would say things like that to me. He would also say this to me. He says, listen, you need to enjoy your kids. Because, you know, they're like this big, and then they're going to be this big, and that happened. And then they're going to get this big, and that happened too. And then they're going to be this big. I guarantee you, my kids are going to be like this. Anyway, I don't know. They keep eating. Who knows? But then you're gonna look back and you're going to say, you know, I didn't enjoy it. You know, you can't get up. He would say stuff. You can't get up and go, oh, no, another day. Oh, no, another day. We need to be encouraged about our days. That's what God wants. God wants you to get up and say, another day. Where's my football gear? No. Listen, God wants us to be in this thing for the long haul, doesn't he? The long, extended period of time, get ourselves ready so that when we look back, watch this, friends, so that when we look back in life and we have memories, because one day, hey, kids, look up here. I know this is hard for y'all to believe, but one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be old. Unless Jesus comes back. And if you're up here and you're my kids, there's a good chance you're going to start losing your hair too. Sorry, that's pretty much my fault. And so you're going to be old. And here's what you want to be able to do when you get old. Look back and say, praise the Lord. Don't you? Because once you get old, that's pretty much all you're going to have, right? To look back and say, praise the Lord. You know, we had some hard times, but at least we enjoyed the journey. That's all Jethro wants. That's all he, listen, this is his family. This is his son-in-law, his daughter's husband. And he's, I don't know, maybe he's sitting on a chair like a judge. Children of Israel, maybe he's elevated and he's sitting on a chair. I don't know. And there's a line. You can visualize this thing, I guess, however you want to. But maybe Moses is sitting there on his chair. You can almost see him like with his hand on his face. Who's next? You know, bring him in. Maybe there's passion there, but you would think that he's getting tired. He's doing this all day, every day. You know. Jethro doesn't want that. And he sees it's coming. He doesn't want Moses to have that life where he says, I can't do this anymore. Or, I'm not sure how much longer I can do this. Or, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, and probably a lot of us in here have said things like that, my guess. Does that mean that we don't care about our responsibilities? No. That's why we take on too much. Because we do care. We do care. We do have passion. It does matter. If it didn't matter, then we would be sitting in the basement watching TV and eating potato chips. But it does matter to us. And we take on too much because we care. Our problem is that even though we have good intentions at times, we take on too much. And we're not able to sufficiently complete the tasks that we've taken on and that we have assigned to ourselves for the most part. And it hurts us and those around us. So Jethro's goal is to give advice to Moses to help him to have some relief. Amen? And listen, if we can relieve some of this that's all my goal is. And so that's what he does. He wants to help Moses with his workload. He wants to help the children of Israel get their problems resolved in a timely manner. And so this is going to happen as Moses gets things, you know, focused in on the right thing. Look at verse 19. Let's see the motive here. This is Jethro. I mean, he's given motives here. Verse 19. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel. And what's that next phrase after counsel? And what? God shall be with thee. So Jethro's not taking his own authority here. He's saying, it's as though Jethro is saying, listen, I'm going to give you some counsel, and if God so will that God would have you to do this, then God be with you. I mean, that's his spirit here. I just want to help you, and if God would use this in you, praise God. Amen? Now verse 23. Skip down to verse 23. if thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so. See, he said it twice. If God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people also go to their place in peace. So there's two things that'll happen as a result of Moses and God leading and Moses taking advice from Jethro on this. That Moses would be able to endure. What's that? He would be able to, for the long haul, a long extended period of time, be able to move forward and accomplish the tasks ahead without wearing away. Second, the people would go to their place in peace. And that's just what Moses wants. So he needed to do two things, okay? So I'm going to give you both of them. Number one, are you ready? Number one, teach them to deal with their own problems from God's word. That's what it is. That's the first thing. Moses needed to teach these people to deal with their own problems from God's word. You see, he was trying to deal with their problems for them. He needed to teach them to deal with their own problems, okay? Look at verse 19. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the cause unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. So the people needed Moses to teach them the ordinances, the laws, how they must walk, the work they must do, all these things that they might be able to know God's word and accomplish God's will in their own life. So they could judge for themselves what's right and wrong. They wouldn't have to come to Moses because they could judge for themselves. They wouldn't need Moses to tell them God's ordinances because they know God's ordinances, you see? And Moses would then remove a lot of workload off of himself if he would just teach these people how to deal with their own problems. This is what he is teaching here. It's exactly what we need to do in our personal lives, church. We need to learn how to deal in our lives with the problems that we face, generally speaking, from God's word. And we need to learn God's word. We need to know how to deal with life's issues from God's word ourselves. We need to be exposed to his word through our personal Bible reading, through the teaching and preaching of God's word. At times we have one-on-one sessions, but just for a short amount of time so that we have the equipment to be able to deal with our own problems. And this is what Moses is being counseled by Jethro to do. And you have this long line of people that are lined up that has created this huge workload for Moses. And he would remove a big part of this workload if he would just teach these people God's laws so that they could judge themselves in the smaller matters, you see? It's like, for example, like parents that need to teach and train their children how to take care of themselves, you know? And teach your children to go out there and to take care of themselves. To love God should be our primary goal, but, you know, to take care of their own problems, right? Teach them and train them. So that one day, there'll be that separation from mom and dad. And mom and dad aren't raising their kids and they're in their 30s and 40s still. You see? And that's what we're talking about here, is teach them how to deal with these issues themselves. Pastors need to do the same thing. Bosses need to do the same thing with their employees. People need to be taught how to take care of their own problems. Yep. However, there are some issues in life that create special challenges to overcome. In other words, there are some special issues that aren't just easily taken care of, and they do require your special attention or some kind of a special attention. And so the first thing Moses said was to teach them to deal with their own problems. The second thing, listen to what this says, or what I say about this. Focus your time on your priorities and get help with the rest. Focus your time on your priorities and get help with the rest, okay? Moses needed to provide able men, didn't he? Able men to lead in the smaller ministry needs, like the matters that needed special attention. Let's delegate this to able men and let them take care of it, okay? So then Moses would be able to take care of the things, watch, that only Moses can take care of. Because there's a lot of things that other people could do, but there are some things only Moses can do. And that's what Moses needs to focus on. Stuff only Moses can do. Now look at verse 21. We'll read verse 21 and 22. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of, all the people, able men. And these able men, this is what that list says about them. Such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers. And then he, you know, thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens. Verse 22, and let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter, and this is where I want you to take special note, that every great matter they shall bring to thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. And so Moses should select trustworthy, able men who hate dishonesty, men who feared God, men of truth, men who hate covetousness. He needs to, you know, bring them in a position through the special kind of, you know, specific kind of training that could help him with some of this extra workload. And so he's getting help in areas where, you know, it's too much. But for that to work, it would require him to understand that there are some things that only Moses could take care of, right? I mean, it says the great matters, then they'll bring to you, but the rest of it will be delegated to these, you know, these able men. That would mean that there would need to be a way to identify priorities. I mean, it would imply that, don't you think? There's a priority status that needs to be equated to projects in our life. And so there's a workload. And if you just took anybody could do this. You could take a notepad and write down all this stuff. And sometimes we do this, don't we, church? Write down all that stuff that needs to be done. And you're like, oh, wow, this is why I'm stressed out. Look at all this stuff. And then put it in order of priority. What's number one? I mean, what, church, is number one on our list? What's number two? What's number three? And listen, we don't need to let the world tell us what number one is. We need to let God tell us what number one is. And here's how we know. It's number one. It's top five. It's top ten. It goes on the priority list. If only you can do it. Like, you are the only one that can do this. Like, there is nobody else who can do this. Nobody. That would mean it needs to go on the priority list. Like, if I'm at work and there's something that I can have Brother Chad do, then I'm going to try to help, you know, if he's able, then we'll do it. But there are some things that I do that he cannot do. He can't study for my sermons for me. What am I preaching today? Doesn't work like that. Yeah, just give me the Bible, right? Thanks a lot. So there's some things that only I can do. It's the same in our families. As you block things out, and you'll start to see quickly there are priorities that need your time and need your attention, and it needs to get it. And so when you start making your schedule, and then priority number one needs to be the first thing that takes up your schedule, church. Okay, priority two. Priority three. Priority four. Let's say there's 10 things on the priority, but you get to 7, you got no more time. What do we do with 8, 9, and 10? We get help with it. You either get help or it doesn't get done. And that's where Moses was. He either got help or it wasn't going to get done. But here's what we do, generally speaking. I'm just going to say this in a general way. I want you to get this, okay? We make priorities, the things that we want to make priorities, and then sometimes the things that need to be priorities get knocked down to like 8, 9, and 10 level, and then they don't get done. Because we did run out of time, didn't we? Like, for instance, our Bible reading. Like, Bible reading is a priority. But whenever it's number 10 on the list, it doesn't get done a lot. Because we get overloaded with things, you see? The principles are simple. And I think these are helpful if we would see ourselves like Moses saw himself, we would be helped by this. Look at verse 24. Moses hearkened unto the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And then, of course, he did all that he said. Verse 25 through 27, basically, is just saying that he took his father-in-law's advice, and he was, you know, he was willing to do it. He humbly received these instructions. And it did the two things that Jethro would have promised that it did, that it was going to do. And that would have been bring relief to the children of Israel, bring relief to Moses. And this is what he was hoping for. Yep. So the two things are this. Number one, teach them to deal with their own problems from God's word. And number two, focus on his priorities to get help and focus on priorities and get help with the rest. And I think that I think we can do this when we have, you know, when we have overloaded workloads, that, you know, that we would, you know, enable the people around us to accomplish things, so we're not doing things that really we don't need to be doing. I mean, this is just generally speaking, I think maybe in the church there's some specific application, but we need to have priorities and make sure that our priorities take top priority. And then go from there, and if there's not enough time, then get help with the rest. Yeah. Do that, and it'll do two things. What? Number one, it'll give you endurance. And number two, it'll give peace. Endurance and peace. Just two simple things. And it'll give you the ability to stay in there for the long haul. We'll stop banging our head on the wall. Amen. Father, we love you this afternoon. We thank you for the encouragement from your word. And I pray that you'll help us to, Lord, apply this truth to our lives. And Lord, I think maybe all of us would be helped by this. We pray your blessings and we pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.